This conference is being recorded.
So we'll call the meeting to order, and the first order of business is to approve the minutes from our December meeting.
Who's taking them?
I move to approve.
Okay. You have a move to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion about the minutes?
I was listening in on the phone.
Okay. Any other corrections? Okay, we'll move to vote. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, time for the GPLS update. And he left. That tells us something.
I hope not.
Well, I can skip down to courier services and audits. How about that?
Okay.
Can we do that? I just heard on my drive in this morning, that DOAS plans to award a courier bid in the next 2 weeks. I actually heard that in a roundabout way, not directly from them. They had told Carol Henson that. It's just been a long process. The DOAS has changed a good bit about their bidding, and there were several pieces missing to some of the bids that they had to go back to all the bidders and ask to have them sent. But we are hoping, I believe there are two bidders left in the process, but we have not been told who it is, and we've not been told how much it's going to cost. But there is hope on the horizon that in the next 2 weeks we will know who the winning bidder is and what the cost for that is.
You said there were still two in the running?
Mm-hmm.
Will this include university systems?
Merrill was told yesterday that it did not look good for them to piggyback on, that they might have to start from scratch, but there was still a little glimmer of hope, and that in another week they would know for sure. She is still really hoping that they would be able to piggyback on. They're with UPS right now, and they just cannot afford it anymore. And they have been watching what we've been doing, and they really just want to piggyback on whoever wins our bid. So she's still has a little bit of hope that they're going to let her do that and not start this process all over and take all this time to bid hers out.
Would courier service be statewide before it was limited to time?
We had asked them to do it state. The bids were for statewide.
Good. Encouraging.
We've done about $10 million in time systems since 2000.
You mean how much we have paid for it since 2000? That sounds about right. That sounds about right. Mm-hmm. The audit situation. Many of you who have expressed interest in participating in the GPLS AUP program have had a couple of emails from me fairly recently. We are moving forward to hire Tracy Arner and Randy Sanders as temporary. It's called temporary, but it's not really temporary. That's just the way they're classified, part-time staff of GPLS to perform the AUPs for the libraries who choose to go that direction. And the money that you all pay or that we deduct from your grant to pay for those will pay their salaries, so it'll come to be a net balanced situation for GPLS. On my way here, I had six phone calls on my way here, but one of them was from Medical College of Georgia that we've cleared all the hurdles to do that, so the paperwork is moving forward to hire those. I have asked all the libraries who had expressed interest to let me know for sure by January 30th, and I have heard from most, and so far everybody who had expressed interest has decided to go forward pretty much. A couple have board meetings in really early February that they had to wait and get this approved.
That's the way we are.
By the board. Okay.
Next Friday is our regular
great
meeting.
Great. Okay. Well, I will let you know then that Emerson is in the same boat. That's right.
Hard name to remember.
I beg your pardon.
So if you get odd emails from me that don't sound like they should be going to you, I probably meant to send it to Cindy. Tracy is available to begin the engagements that she's going to do as soon as the paperwork goes through. So as soon as February, some of you who are assigned to Tracy may be hearing from her about your 2008. Randy for the Department of Audits through the last day of March, so he won't be able to begin his engagements until April 1. But they still feel like between the two of them, they can get almost everyone done by July 1 for the FY08. So that has really turned into a fairly nice solution. I've been real pleased with the pricing they were able to offer. The level of expertise those two people have is just phenomenal. I'm really, really confident in their work. So,
thank you.
Will other libraries be able to join in next year?
Absolutely, absolutely. So we will just.
I already had mine done.
Be sending out again when after once we finish the 08s after July 1, we'll be asking everybody if they want to jump in, because there were several who had already felt like they had to do something for 08 and had already engaged someone else, but they might want to jump in 09.
Debbie, are you a component part?
Yes. It won't work.
Probably won't be able to do that. I can't.
Right. I
can't either.
No.
Julie, one of the questions I had from our fiscal person,
because
she's trying to take over our first year, it's her first year running.
Do your FY08?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're probably going to be interested in that case, but she,
okay.
She just didn't think she could have
can
everything
be ready.
Ready.
Okay, absolutely. We can certainly do it after
she's
July.
She's working with Patty to sort of do a few
get everything.
Things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Most people wanted to try to get it done before that, but certainly we can do it after that.
Normally, I think we'd like to.
Right, but this year, certainly.
And Doreen had just called. She may be on.
Okay, I have a request to have our callers online identify themselves, please.
Mary Reese from Twin Lakes is here.
Dusty Grass from the Hoopy Regional.
Claire yes. Levy from Lee County.
Doreen Cordovan.
Doreen, good morning.
Hey, I've been on for a while.
Thank you. Somebody said, uh-oh.
Okay.
I wanted to see, let me speak to Doreen. Doreen, would you be willing to give us a bit of an update on what's been going on at the Regents level, at least regarding the budget discussions?
Not anything that I have been made aware of. I'm looking at my computer right now, checking things, and there's not anything that I can report on anything that has been made available to me in the last week or so. So you probably are maybe a little more aware of things than I am. Tom, you know, really, really tries, but I think everything we're just seeing how things develop. I wish I could be of more information to you.
Okay. Well, I was. There were two of our staff were at the budget presentation that the chancellor made to the Joint Budget Committee a week or so ago, and we can give an update on that in a few minutes. But I just wanted to give us an opportunity to hear from you. But I know we're all as much in the dark about all of this as I think the legislature is too.
Well. Thank you, Lamar. I appreciate it, but sorry I don't have more to interject into the process at this time.
We're waiting to see. Thank you.
For the benefit of those on the phone, I think we probably ought to just go around the table and tell you who's here. So I'm Kathy Ames.
I'm Joe Forsey.
Susan Whittle. Hey, Dory.
Hey.
Lon Howell.
Greg Hyde.
Debbie Manger.
John McDaniel.
Alan Kay. Lamar Veach.
Richard Sanders.
Julie Walker.
Carolyn Fuller.
Okay. Lamar, why don't we just jump right into the budget?
What we know about the budget is what you already have as far as the governor's recommendation is concerned. They took basically the pretty much the 8% level, which is what we had anticipated at this point, and took it right off the top. So there were no real surprises as far as the OPB's and the governor's budget recommendations were concerned. About 1.8 million out of the grant program, which, as we talked about, is going to come out of the book fund and has already been held back, so that it's not the horrific hit later in the year. There's about $500,000, I'm rounding these off, but approximately $500,000 out of either state operating or state on behalf funding. Some of that comes out of library, it comes out of Galileo. Some of that, of course, we lost the funding that was appropriated for Pines and the courier service, state funding anyway. So that's that. Now, when you the good and the best, the bad news. The good news is, of course, that the governor is recommending not only the 7 projects that were approved by the regions and we submitted, but he's also picked up 5 more right down the line. So that there are 11 projects being recommended for a total of about $19 billion, which is the biggest package we've seen probably in many, 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 many years. So good news and bad news is the answer for that. There was one question that came up, and you're aware of the little tussle from time to time about the order of the projects and skipping around and picking and choosing. And I was asked by the chair of the Appropriations Committee the other day why in the world the governor would have skipped over number 11 and picked up number 12 on the list. Well, they're both in Walton County, and I did inquire OPB to find out what the reasoning was. The primary answer was that number 12 had more skin in the game. They had $2.4 million of local money, whereas number 11 had only about $450,000 of local money. So number 12 was more state money in that. There's a, quote, a better balance of local and state funding. So that was why they chose number 12. But again, the legislature gets to have their say, there are continuing questions about the budget, about the projects. Bob Smith, who is the chair of the House Higher Education Subcommittee for Appropriations, has asked us for a lot more detail. We provided, you may have seen the sheet that we sent out. Have we handed that out to everybody?
Probably not.
I don't know that we have. I've got one in my briefcase. I'll let me get it for you. This is a. Oh, let's see here. Not here. But it shows, gives a little bit of paragraph detail about each of the 11 projects. I'll just pass it around so you get an idea. But we have been asked for a lot more detail than that. Bob would like to have pages or so of description about those projects, what they will really do. He'd love to have floor plan. He'd love to have a sketch, or he'd love to have an artist rendering. So he wants something that's a little more tangible and visual.
He's a developer.
He's a developer. Okay. So he'd like to see some more of that. Some of it we have, some of it we don't. Some of it is going to come right out of your building program. Basically a description. How is this going to, physically, what is it going to look like? How many more seats? How many more parking spaces? How many more of this or that? Will it encompass? Is it an expansion? Is it a brand new building? What does it replace? You know, what is it going to do in the community? Just to make them feel like it's more than, like he said, just a line item. And I think that's wonderful, and Nate's already working on that, so he's already working with the 11 library directors, or 10, or whatever the number is.
Well, our Georgia Council met with Bob a year ago, and he was expressed more detail, and we were asking him what he wanted, really, he'd love to provide it, and he pulled out a book with the Regents Project, and he had a lot of detail, and what I said to him at the time was, you know, we have
exactly
the detail in the building program document,
right,
which I know Nate could give you.
Yeah.
I said, if you want some of that, but he never really said anything back, and I never really heard more. If he wants detail, we actually have more detail than some of the Regents projects do.
Right. Well, he faxed us something that after we were at his committee on Monday, he faxed us some packets on some of the USG projects, and he said, I want something similar to this. So Nate is working on those, and then he told us he wanted a PowerPoint with some photographs. So we're working on that, too, for the next time we're invited over.
I was just curious if you knew more about what it was, because I knew the program documents would certainly do everything you showed.
Absolutely. And that's what I felt all along is it's probably like an executive summary of the program document.
You can never have enough information.
Absolutely. Thank you. And we want to give them as much as we can, but he's asked me to put together maybe a 30-minute presentation, so that'd be about three minutes on each project that we could just put up and get them to make it more real than simply a line item in the budget. And so we are happy to bring that forward. But the document that we're passing around is the list of the 11 projects with some detail on one side, and then on the other side are the entire list of 41 or 42 projects that have come forward in our application process, and that'll be distributed to you as well as handed out at the DLA Legislative Day, so that everybody can see just where everything lies and what is there and what is being recommended.
So we're asking, I mean, if everything were funded, it's approximately $18.9 million.
That is what the governor is recommending to the legislature, is that he fund those. And I think this is part of a larger bond program that he's trying to promote. As part of a state stimulus package, I think they think there's room within the bond cap for these additional projects, and so we're happy to take these and run with them and move on with these investments.
What is the total request for the state university system?
Ooh,
state share.
I don't. We may have that someplace. $300-400 million.
Yeah,
it's like 10% of the overall state university request, maybe.
Less than that.
Yeah, less than that.
Well,
that's nice.
That is not bad.
That survived recession, and that'd be a sure thing, right?
Other projects. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference between this and that shovel ready list?
That's really for the feds, and they're probably. I have not actually seen that list. I think it's most of what's on this application. But it's
44 million.
It's pretty good size in terms of the total cost. Now, when you look at the total cost of those 11 projects, it's in the, what's that say, Kathy? 49 million?
On that side.
Yeah. I mean, total cost is 47.2 million dollars. So with the 18.9 of state money, your local communities are contributing 28.3. So again, and a good portion of that is are some of the big projects that in Clark County and DeKalb County, which of course are bringing a lot more local money and a lot more local match. So, but in any event, that's a pretty good showing of local commitment to these projects, and I don't think anybody can quibble with that. So, but it's a continuing process. I very honestly think that the legislature is waiting to see what the ultimate outcome of the Obama stimulus package is. You know, the House approved it. I think we can talk about this also, but that the legislature is waiting perhaps to see, not that they're moving forward with their review of the FY09 budget. As Bob Smith said, he wants us to come back and talk about the FY10 budget and the impact of that one on us at this point. So they're, you know, the legislature's moving forward, but I think he's got an eye on Washington to really see what impact that will have and what impact it will have on the, at least the FY10 budget in terms of that money coming down and what it's going to be available for. We're already in some conversations with people from the within the governor's office. I've had a call with talk with Lanish Barrett, who is the interim policy director for the governor's office, and certainly a lot of this money will somewhat discretionary with the governor to decide what their priorities are. But we want to be in, and we're already talking with senior people in VOR as well as OPB to try to position ourselves perhaps for some of that money, depending on what the ultimate priorities are within the legislation about it. But if we're talking about broadband in rural communities, bingo, that's public libraries as far as I'm concerned. So perhaps there could be some equipment replacement money, some enhancements to networking. Could be bricks and mortar. I mean, it really all depends. But I think because it does mention, as best we know, it does mention libraries in some places as permissive areas for expenditure, we will do our best to try to be in that mix. But again, if they decide it's going to exclusively be 12 and it's going to go to Department of Transportation for bridge replacement or something else like that, we'll have to fight that battle or try to do our best to be there at the table if we possibly can. But I think that there are certainly evidence that libraries are being heavily used, and that and efficiently and effectively get money out there into production.
I have
a couple of other people.
Two concerns. One is that will it be, if we're so fortunate as to be included in the construction end of the federal stimulus package, would we be bound by federal wage and hour regulations?
Probably.
Which would drive the cost of a project a little bit higher.
I guess it might, yeah.
Traditionally, yes.
Yeah.
More paperwork? Yes.
Yeah.
The second thing is that Bob Smith met with my board, and the one thing he wanted, I passed it on to y'all, is that he wanted that one pager, but he wants to be sure that we're not building offices for directors and things like that. He really wants to know how the construction projects will benefit the citizens of the area.
Yeah.
So he was very specific about that. Mm-hmm. One of his main interests is new technology.
Yes. Okay. Yes. We are trying to have with him the idea that that what we're doing in Georgia with Pines and Evergreen is library cutting edge technology. Obviously, there are he's interested in what the Kindle machines will do and what impact that reading, you know, that's going to have on ultimately on libraries. But we're able to show that. Typically, one technology does not necessarily replace a technology unless it happens to be a track tape. We will still have books and bricks and mortar in addition to advancing technology. So
Carolyn has made everybody a copy.
They're
coming around.
Fantastic.
I got one.
Okay. Well, you know, some people are going to have their own. Some people are going to be adopters of that and really like them, as you know, and others are going to be very happy with traditional codex paper and binding. So that's part of our challenge, of course. But I think that what we need to do is tell our story.
I think you're the only one. I signed up. Maybe I didn't put my name on.
There we go. I just didn't get my name on there. And the challenge is to continue talking about what we're doing and telling our story. The one thing that Bob Smith is really excited about as far as higher education is concerned, active centers for entrepreneurial development. And there were three presentations being made yesterday at his committee from Georgia Tech, UGA, and Georgia State about what they were doing in terms of entrepreneurial incubator kinds of activities, how to get scientific developments marketplace, so to speak, in terms of new products and new innovation and innovations. And so that was interesting, but it occurred to me that what we need to make sure he knows is what has happened, you know, in a sense, with Evergreen and Equinox. There is now a business in Georgia that employs, I don't know how many, 15 people that didn't exist 2 years ago. And it's basically because of the incubator that we created in terms of the software that is now developed. So I think to that as a singular but a unique product, a new unique activity that's a company that didn't exist 2 years ago that is now flourishing and providing support for libraries not only in Georgia but in quite a few other states and Canada now. So
maybe there's a grant award attached to that that could go back to the state.
Well, we did get the Mellon grant, of course. But
or are you suggesting that Equinox
give us some money to get us the grant?
I know that you know certain foundations, you know, support that kind of thing. Does the state have a program that state workers who come up with different ideas can get up to $100,000?
I think there are some innovation awards, but I think it's more like $100.
Oh.
I don't think the state has any big. I don't think the state has any big programs like that, unless you know of something. I'm sure they do. We also noticed in listening to presentations being made, and I'll segue sort of into the chancellor's presentation. Julie was there. I watched it on the internet from the Denver Public Library the other Thursday. But this was the chancellor's presentation at the Joint Budget Committee. He mentioned libraries, public libraries, four times or more in his prepared remarks, talking, you know, basically overviewing the budget, talking about the priorities of the university system, the focus on their top goals and mission, but was queried pretty heavily. Any of you watched that? But he was grilled pretty hard for about an hour and a half on all kinds of topics, including questions about merging. There's a lot of angst out there about and rumors about merging the two-year system with the university. Continuing comments and continuing concern about that issue. There were questions, hard questions about how much money the university system collectively spends on advertising. We just noticed yesterday that I saw it on TV last night. that Georgia Southern was buying television time in the Atlanta area to talk about Georgia Southern and